This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, November 5th, 2010. I'm Kyle Kellums. In the new book, Unhealthy Cities, Poverty, Race, and Place in America, authors Kevin Fitzpatrick and Mark Ligori write that place matters. A simple statement, sure, but the writers examine the complex relationship between place, region, cities, neighborhoods, and health and well-being of the place's residents. Kevin Fitzpatrick, a co-author of the book, is professor and Jones Chair in Community in the Department of Sociology at the University of Arkansas. Tomorrow afternoon at 3:30, he'll discuss and read from Unhealthy Cities at Nightbird Books on Dixon Street in Fayetteville. This morning, he came to the Carver Center for Public Radio to discuss the book and the importance of place.
In fact, I think it's more than just physical health. It's all of well-being that gets wrapped up into that. So we try and look at the landscape of work that's been done, focus on a few cities to provide us with some background to the idea of the link between neighborhood and health, and then try and tell this story that links with the different elements of place and the myriad of health issues that are related to that. And whether it's the history of brownfields or the story of lead paint in old decaying neighborhoods, regardless, they all have a significant impact on people, but not in a way that it's the same for everyone. The story that we try and develop is really about how disadvantaged neighborhoods impact people differently, and particularly disadvantaged populations. So really the book focuses on homeless and children and elderly and low-income minorities, all those groups that tend to be place-bound. The groups that don't have these social economic groups that don't have the opportunity to move at will, but rather they're often tied to their place. And it's those groups as well as others that are at greatest risk.
And it is a perpetual cycle?
Pretty much. I think that one of the important things about the book is that we have to tell some good stories. Can't just tell, this is how bad it is, look at this, terrible. There are some great stories. In fact, there are some success stories that show how one person, one group, gets behind an idea and can break that cycle. Break the cycle of unhealthiness, break the cycle of poverty and how it's related to that unhealthiness. And there are some great examples and great illustrations about communities, about schools, about churches across the country that sort of put their foot down and say, we got to do something for our kids, we got to do something for our families, we got to do something for this community or it's just going to disappear.
Those examples, those good stories, do they generally originate inside the unhealthy places? I mean, it has to be someone that's there.
Yeah, it's sort of a bubble up, sometimes grassroots, sometimes not. But there's a story in here that actually we heard for the first time in, not to overplug NPR, but we heard it in Bill Moyer's on his show. And it's about a physician who helps develop sort of a grassroots movement of essentially mothers in a neighborhood in Santa Ana, California, which happens to be a neighborhood, city neighborhood, right next to Disney World and some of the wealthiest commercial real estate in the entire country. And this Santa Ana, California neighborhood is in dire straits. And she begins to develop this grassroots movement that improves green space where there was none, improves health and nutrition and eating habits where there were a few, tries to bring in fresh produce and really just kind of begins to radically change the shape of the neighborhood. She's a physician. She understands risk related to obesity and poor nutrition and other kinds of things as it relates to kids. And so, you know, we really have to do something about the neighborhood to improve the future of this generation, and kind of single-handedly takes it on and does an incredible job, sort of fights City Hall in the process, and does an incredible job, again, of just mobilizing local people. I think it ends up being more important that if you have a stake in it, your investment and the way at which you work and want to change things is phenomenal, and I think that Santa Ana story is a great example.
You mentioned diet, access to good, nutritious food. The geographic location and closeness, that's a big issue.
Food deserts.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they are. I mean, many of these unhealthy neighborhoods are literally food deserts where the closest thing that kids can walk to get something to eat is a convenience store. Beef jerky and ding dongs, and there's no fresh produce within a mile or two radius of these. Even produce that's at a neighborhood market type of store, because it's mostly liquor stores, convenience stores, gas stations, those kinds of things. And every neighborhood. Probably. There's one of those neighborhoods in every place that we go. We can find them. And the options of unhealthy diet have an enormous impact on so many other things. So that if kids don't have access to it, families don't have access to it, then, you know, it's going to create an enormous amount of health problems, not just among those kids, but for the family as a whole. But yeah, food deserts. It's not a word that we use in the book, but it's a word that I wish we would have used in the book.
Is there an out-of-sight, out-of-mind sort of problem here? I think back a few years ago when I was in Vancouver, which is always topping international lists of one of the most livable, mm-hmm. most happy cities. And I was always told during this nearly week-long stay, don't go to this one area of Vancouver. Whatever you do, mm-hmm. everything else is beautiful. I took a wrong turn because I'm directionally challenged. Ended up in this really horrible part of Vancouver. It's about 6-7 blocks long. And then when I went back to the hotel, most of the people who lived in Vancouver who worked there told me they'd never been there, had never seen it, had only heard about it. Mm. So is it harder to help places that you've never been and you make yourself ignorant of?
Yeah. I think that part of the drive to write this is to make sure that the story keeps getting told. Because I do think that for many people, and our example of the neighborhood in Birmingham that we kind of write the story around is a perfect one, because it is, again, one of those neighborhoods that maybe is off the beaten path. Predominantly low income, predominantly minority, not a lot of services, not a lot of accessibility. And I think that that's probably true, and I think that there's probably one or two or 20 in most big cities across the world, not just America, even though we focus on just U.S. But I also think that even in a place like Northwest Arkansas, there are unhealthy neighborhoods, and they're made unhealthy by their location, by their housing, by the traffic patterns, by the lack of good food and access to good food. And so I think that and maybe high crime or high risk of crime, and when you look at all of these social indicators, it stacks up as a place that's unhealthy. You know, and there are some people that argue that some cities are designed in such a way, or some neighborhoods within cities are designed in such a way, is to just be sick neighborhoods, sick because of their actual design, their location, the overall structure within those neighborhoods. A lot of sick neighborhoods around the country, and it's predominantly historical.
So what will it take to change some of those? Will it take money, political will, social will?
All of those. And I think that, again, it goes back to the earlier point about recognition. It's important that much like we've had conversations about homeless and all of those social ills that we sometimes forget. I think that it's important that we continue to remind people that we live, for example, in Northwest Arkansas. We live in a very healthy region. But when you look at some of the risk factors and some of the sort of smaller units, maybe neighborhoods within a larger neighborhood or neighborhoods next to a rundown factory and those kinds of places. Those are, I think, are the places that we forget about. I mean, you know, we look at the enormous philanthropy and we look at it, you know, the health indicators relative to the rest of the state and saying, wow, everybody ought to be living in Northwest Arkansas. But that doesn't exclude the fact that if you drive around and in some of the city locations from South Fayetteville all the way to North Bentonville, you can find those kinds of neighborhoods that have health indicators that suggest that, you know, it's a sick neighborhood and there are a lot of folks at risk. So I think it's about keeping that in focus for people, reminding them constantly that there are issues that can be combated, sometimes in a bubble-up grassroots way, but other times, you know, we just need to be able to put money and program to work in order to change that.
Kevin Fitzpatrick is co-author, along with Mark Ligori of Birmingham, Alabama, of the new book, Unhealthy Cities, Poverty, Race, and Place in America. He's also professor and Jones Chair in Community in the Department of Sociology at the University of Arkansas. Tomorrow afternoon at 3:30, he'll read from and discuss the book at Nightbird Books on Dixon Street in downtown Fayetteville.